Enemy can't stand here. The Lord of hosts. broken. Even when I'm wrong, you never change your ways. Always the same, always the same. Nobody else loves me like you do. Nobody else treats me like you do. Yeah.
Good evening and welcome to Kingdom Empowerment Radio Incorporated. I am your host this evening, Chaplain Kevin Graves. I'm with you every second and fourth Monday of each month. And my brothers and sisters, it is a pleasure once again to be a part and to be on Kingdom Empowerment Radio in this season. I am really excited about this topic that I'm going to be talking about. Tonight's topic is the God that answers by fire. The God that answers by fire. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Kingdom Empowerment Radio, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for Dr. Ganny, her husband, Lord, her obedience, Lord, to the assignment that you have called her to do. Lord, I thank you, Lord, and that you have anointed this powerful woman and man of God, Lord, in this season, Lord, to bring forth kingdom principles, kingdom concepts. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing on Kingdom Empowerment Radio, Lord, and we just ask that you would continue to be glorified, continue to pour out your spirit, continue to use us in this time. We ask that you would continue to be glorified in what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, this topic is something actually near and dear to my heart. There are scriptures in the Bible that speak about this God of fire, or this consuming fire, if you will. And the last book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 4, there's a scripture that reads, I'll start at verse 23, which says, Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Verse 24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And this fire, you know, when we think of fire, and again, as I always say, when we begin our segments, it's always important that we have a pen or a pencil and a notepad, because there's some information here that we need in this season. When we think of fire, we think of something that is burning or combustible. The definition that I had come across in doing my research, this particular definition I really like. It says combustion. The definition for fire is combustion or burning, in which substances combine chemically with oxygen from the air and typically give out bright light, heat, and smoke. Now, when I heard this and when I saw this, I immediately thought of cause and effect. And I'm going to read this again. Combustion or burning, in which substances combine chemically with oxygen from the air and typically give out bright light, heat, and smoke. You know, when I think of, again, our prayer life, when I think of our fervency in intercession and prayer and fasting, the Word of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I liken that particular passage of Scripture to this definition. Why? Well, the passage of Scripture reads, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that God would hear from heaven the effect, and he would do what? He would hear from heaven, he would forgive our sin and heal our land. So in essence, there's a cause and there's effect. We have to invoke this presence in order to get a result. Now, when our prayers push through barriers, push through strongholds, and we're praying fervently and we're pushing through, there's going to be an effect. There's a smoke that goes up. There's a heat that goes up. That the Lord, and I'm, and again, I'm just merely trying to articulate this in a way where He's hearing the fervency of our prayer. He is seeing the sacrifices that are made in terms of our fasting, and He is hearing, and He's saying, what's going on down there? I hear something. And that's not strange fire, but no, that is a sound. There's a sound that is coming from my people in this season. There's a fervency, there's a fire, there is a heat, and it's bringing about a reaction. And that reaction is the intercession, is God now intervening, a spirit now intervening in earthly matters. So, my brothers and sisters, we need to look at the cause and effect, and this is why we pray as hard as we do. This is why we pray for days. This is why we pray and fast for weeks or even months in some cases. Why? Because we need we want that heat. We want that smoke to reach the heavenlies so that God will see that heat. He'll see that fire. Hallelujah. He'll see that Holy Ghost fire that is burning in His people. He'll hear that demonstration of fervent prayer, and He will be, and then that will invoke His presence to intervene on our behalf. Hallelujah. So on that note, when we think of fire, this is the very nature of who our God is. He is a God of fire. He is, well, some may even say, well, wait a minute. Now, I thought God was a spirit. According to John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 24, He is. The Word of God says that God is a spirit. And those and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, yes. But He is an all-consuming fire. This fire that burns, this fire that heals, this fire that, yes, judges. So, yes, He is a God of love. He is an all-consuming fire. And I must say that this consuming fire is a demonstration of His presence. He is spirit, but His fire is a demonstration of His presence and power. More specifically, go with me. I'm going to give you some examples, some biblical examples of what I'm referring to. I just don't like to talk and not support it with Scripture. So when I say that God is an all-consuming fire, that He is fire, and that His fire is merely a demonstration of who He is, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3, and I'll start at verse 1, or I could just start at verse 2, but I'll start at verse 1. The Word of God says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Verse 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." So now let's get one thing perfectly clear here. Now, some people will say, how is it that Moses could see God? Does not the Word of God say that no man can see God and live? That's true. No man can see God in all His glory and live. No question. This is why God manifested Himself, and He came as an angel of the Lord, and therefore Moses was able to see Him. Yes, no doubt. God in his infinite glory, no man could stand to see Him. We would be destroyed. So knowing that, God knowing this, manifested Himself in a form of an angel and appeared in a burning bush. So that is one example of, again, the fire of God, the consuming fire of God, manifesting itself in the form of this burning bush, and in essence, Moses was in the presence of God as this bush that was burning, and nevertheless, miraculously, it was never consumed. So that's one example of this fire being a demonstration, this consuming fire being a demonstration of his presence. Go with me to 1 Kings, chapter 18. We're going to start at chapter 18, and I'm going to go to verse 37. We're going to start at verse 37, and this is going to now demonstrate this consuming fire to represent the very power of God. Verse 37, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37, the word of God reads, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that," this is Elijah speaking, "hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.'" So that is now a demonstration. Remember, Elijah was mocking, hallelujah, the prophets of Baal, and how it says, okay, call on your God, you know, and he was mocking them in a sense where he's like saying, well, you know, perhaps your God sleeps, and it's amazing in doing so, because Elisha was confident that the God that he was serving was the one and true God, that he was not a God made with human hands. He was not a God that was derived or created by the imagination of men, but this was the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God that parted the Red Sea, the God that provided manna and water and provision in the wilderness when the children of Israel were hungry. But this was the one true God, the God that would answer by fire. And when he spoke, and of course, the prophet of God spoke and God responded, and then from that the prophets of Baal were taken down to the brook Kishon, and they were slain there. So this is just one more example of what this consuming fire of God is truly about. So this is not just some ordinary fire that burns. This is God, and this is God operating miraculously through fire, operating and giving demonstration of who he is with regards to his very presence and also with regards to his power. We need to also examine also in the New Testament. The word of God reads, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So this, again, this fire, again, represents, or, well, in essence, this fire, again, represents, as I said earlier, the power of God, the ability to be able to demonstrate the power of God. Now, when we say that Jesus, John the Baptist said, when Jesus would come and he would baptize you, not with water, because that was John the Baptist's assignment, but this Jesus, this prophet of God, would now come and baptize with the very Spirit of God and with fire and with judgment. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So, in essence, when we would be baptized, okay, what the evidence, as we saw on the day of Pentecost and the speaking in tongues, is mere evidence that the Holy Ghost is upon us and is working in and through us, through the speaking in divers tongues. And also, this fire is not for us to boast in, it is not for us to gloat in, but it is there for us to now be, again, a living demonstration of the power of God in the earth. We are to use this fire, this gift hallelujah, to now bring, hallelujah, the word of God to those individuals who do not know his name. So when we have this fire, we now have the gifts of the Spirit, and now we have the fruit of the Spirit. So now we no longer just have not been baptized with water unto repentance. That's one phase. But now we need the very Spirit of God. We need his character. We need his nature. So when now we are baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, we now move in a we now move in power. We move in authority. We now move not according to our own understanding and our own ways, but we are moving in power and in authority. We are moving through healing, through casting out of demons, spiritual gifts, hallelujah, spirit of wisdom. Now God has given us wisdom. He's given us understanding, and many he will pour out even prophecy to some of his men and women servants, hallelujah. He will give us some the gift of healing, hallelujah. He will give us some divers tongues, also, or whether it be even the interpretation of tongues. So when we enter into this baptism of the Holy Spirit, God has now imparted in us these different gifts and the fruit. So now people know for themselves. Now they can see that, wow, this individual or these individuals are truly anointed and set apart for the purposes of God. So when we examine what these fruits are, in fact, and gifts are, in fact, let's do that since I've brought it up and we're talking about the Holy Spirit and we're talking about spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to go right to Galatians chapter 12, and we're going to talk exactly what the gifts of the Spirit is. And we're going to start at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Word of God reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye are Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So all of these gifts, whether you possess one or you possess multiple, the bottom line is that it's the self same Spirit. And a lot of us, you know, we often wonder, okay, Lord, what is it that we are called to do in this hour? Well, and this is where, again, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire, comes into play. Is that now, okay, now that we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit and with fire, now we can begin to identify what it is that we are called to do. God will give us certain gifts. We will be able to flow in a certain office. For some, it's, again, speaking in divers tongues. For some, it's healing. For some, it's miracles, faith, prophecy, wisdom, so on and so forth. And it's important that we're able to identify this. Why? It is for the edification of the body of Christ. It is not for us to take these gifts and marvel in them, to boast in them, look at what I can do, but no, it is for the edification of the church of God. So this is our responsibility. Otherwise, what's the point in being baptized by the Holy Ghost if we're not using these gifts in the earth to edify, to build people, to demonstrate, again, the power of God in the earth. So with that said, I will move to another area, which is known as the fruit of the Spirit. We just finished discussing the gifts of the Spirit, but I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And we can find this in Galatians chapter 5, and I will start at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that there are, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, beloved, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So in essence, when we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, there's a change. There has to be. There's no way that you can be baptized by the Holy Spirit and remain the same. There's no way that you can have an encounter with God, the creator of heaven and the earth, and remain the same. There must be a change. There has to be some sort of a spiritual transformation. Okay, if you have completely surrendered to the will of God and you are born again, there's no way you can remain the same. There must be a putting aside of the fleshly desires. There must be putting away of that carnal nature and entering into the Spirit and entering into this new relationship and entering in of this new creation. So this is what the scripture tells us. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. So that I just gave you two examples of what are the benefits of being baptized by the Holy Ghost and with fire. There are demonstrations of this. And beloved, I'm sharing all of this with you. And of course, I would be remiss if, in sharing the benefits of being baptized by fire and what fire represents. I also want to share with you what the fire means in terms of the judgment of God. And we see a very clear example of this consuming fire, not just imparting spiritual gifts and fruit, but also establishing judgment upon the impenitent or the disobedient. I'm going to give you an example of that, which can be found in the book of Leviticus. Again, one of the five books of Moses. I'm going to go to Leviticus chapter 10. This is unfortunate, sons of Moses. I'm sure many of the listeners out there are familiar with Nadab and Abihu. The book of Leviticus chapter 10, which reads, I'll start at verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So, beloved, it is imperative. It is imperative that we are obedient and to the things of God. Now, as tragic as what happened to Nadab and Abihu, I also want to caution us today of the importance of not offering strange fire before God. Now, this strange fire can take on different types of forms. Nadab and Abihu offered up strange fire, so much so that God says, I will not accept this particular offering or sacrifice. And they were destroyed for it. In many cases today, our strange fire is strange doctrine. Or perhaps it's a strange teaching or philosophy, or our business when it comes to dealing with not just brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, but also when we claim to be men and women of God, but privately or secretly, or so we think, we're doing something else. We're acting as if we are not who we claim to be. So it is very important that when we come before the throne of God, that we offer a sweet incense, meaning that we are offering a sacrifice that is pleasing to God, that we are, that we check ourselves, that you say, Lord, is there anything in me that is not of you? Is there any strange fire in me? Is there any strange philosophy or doctrine in me? I just want to make sure that whatever it is that I'm bringing forth, that it is God honoring, that it is not self-gratifying, it is not in any way contaminating or bringing confusion into your tabernacle. But Lord, whatever it is that I'm offering up to you, Lord, it is my prayer that it is pleasing to you, that it is a sweet smell to you. So it is important, beloved, that when we come before God, and in fact, I will even use an example of when the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. Remember, there was a rope that was tied around him. Okay, if he was not living right and he's standing before the presence of God, he could die. And of course, he would be pulled out instantaneously if that was the case. So it is important that when we enter into the presence of God, that we are pure, that we, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, that we are entering into the Holy of Holies, we are entering into his presence without spot nor blemish. Now, does that mean that we are perfect people? Absolutely not. But it means that we need to get ourselves in order. That means that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob requires us to surrender to him and to live lives that are pleasing and holy and righteous before him. He cannot partner himself and will not partner himself with unholiness and unrighteousness. So with that said, I would like to open up the phone lines at this time for anyone who may have questions regarding tonight's topic, which is the God that answers by fire. The God that answers by fire. I'm going to open up the phone lines at this time for anyone that has any questions or comments on tonight's topic. Caller, you're on the air.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Very good. Very good, woman of God. God bless you, and thank you for calling.
Thank you. I just want to say that's such a dynamic topic that you're ministering on, and I just absolutely love it. The first thing that came to my mind is the God that answers by fire. It just speaks of his sovereignty, number one, you know. It speaks of his sovereignty and his deity and his abilities and his boundless capacities that he has, the magnitude of who he is, even though that can't even be measured within itself, right? So just to even imagine it does God an injustice. So I can only try to explain on my level of understanding because there's no measure to his magnitude. But most certainly, when I hear that he's a God that answers by fire, it just really displays and exhibits just his deity on a whole. And it reminds me that, number one, I can take comfort in that. I can take comfort in that I have security, that I have a heavenly defense system that's around me. A government that legislates laws to defend its citizens.
Amen.
I see it in such a way that this is a God of that answers by fire. He's a God of justice, and he's also a God of vindication. And I just love that, because you know that when you're thinking of these things, that whatever it is that you may be experiencing in your life, he is a God that answers by fire. Whether you're going through oppositions with physical human beings that are in opposition to you, that God will deal with them justly. It shows that he answers by fire when it comes to your spiritual enemies that you're fighting against, and knowing that you have the victory because fire consumes everything. You know, so we have the victory in that, and our victory is unquestionable because of who he is. It reminds me that whatever situation that comes up in our life, whether it be sickness or torment or financial crisis we may find ourselves in, he's the God that answers by fire, that there's a solution to problems that we face. And the solution that rises up against us, that he can consume that, because he's a consuming fire, and he answers by fire. And not only that, but he is the God that controls that element. He's the originator of that element. So any fire that comes up in your life, he's the ultimate consuming fire that can consume that fire. He controls the elements. And he's just all in control. And there's nothing that goes unrecognized by him. Him having that all-seeing eye. So he answers by fire. And one of the things I love even with that saying is that when you look in when Prophet Elijah was contending against the 450 prophets of Baal, he was a God that answered by fire then. You know, so he's a miracle-working God, and he's still in the miracle-working business. So no matter what kind of things that's erected against your life or altars erected against your life, knowing that he is a God that's going to answer by fire, and he is God. And so Jehovah, this God that we serve, has the final say. And that's what I want to share.
Amen. And thank you, woman of God, for sharing. Yes. And this God that answers by fire has given us example of, as you said, his deity and his protection. And I know in Deuteronomy chapter 9, there's a passage of scripture, I was reading it today, that really encouraged me. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go into possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard, say, who can stand before the children of Anak?" Verse 3, "Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee, hey, as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee." So we all have giants. I don't know, for some their giants is pornography. For some, their giants is depression, suicidal thoughts, trouble from every angle. Maybe it's in the workplace. Maybe it's in the community where you live. We all have giants of some nature. But once we know, as the woman of God said, we have a God that answers by fire and will defend, no matter how big your giant is, no matter how tall that giant is, no matter how fierce and intimidating that giant is, we have a God that answers by fire, who will go before us and will defend us. And my brothers and sisters, we have to get that. We have to get this. We have to get it in our spirit. We have to know it, not just words on paper, but we say, "Lord, this is your word, and you said you will go before me." So that means before I even step foot on that battlefield, Lord, you're already there. pay. And what more do we need in knowing that, wait a second, before, so the battle has been already won. Let's take that a step further. Now, being that God, the all-consuming fire, has gone before us, the battle has already been won. We say, hey, David, a little shepherd boy standing before a giant, Goliath, a little shepherd boy, hallelujah. Why? Because he knew that the God that he served was the consuming fire. And he stepped to this big giant. And he knew. He says, hey, what I'm about to do to you is amazing. If he did not have the faith that he had, there's no way David could have stood before Goliath and spoke boldly before this giant. And my brothers and sisters, this is the message. That the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that answers by fire, will go before us. And therefore, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear no man, no circumstances, no Goliath, no giant, because it's already been done. They've already been slain. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I do want to open up the phone lines for anyone else who may have any questions and comments. Thank you, woman of God, once again for sharing. But I do want to open up the phone lines for anyone else at this time who may have any questions or comments on tonight's topic, the God who answers by fire. Caller, you're on the air. If there's no additional questions or comments, then I'll just move forward. Okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, the Lord put this on my heart, this particular topic he put on my heart for a group of people. More specifically, I'm really feeling a tug on my heart for the true prophets of God. And I just want to say to those men and women who are called to prophetic ministry. Now, hey, God has a message and power for all parts of the fivefold ministry. This particular message is leaning more towards those who operate in the office of the prophetic. Yes, we need evangelists, we need apostles, we need pastors, we need teachers, absolutely. We need, hey, I understand that. This message is specifically for the prophets of God. And what was on my spirit to write was that the Lord in this season is raising up prophets that will not be silenced by religious or worldly systems. These prophets are going to move and operate with a fiery indignation and determination to say, thus saith the Lord in this hour. Hallelujah. Prophets of God, and for those who operate in the office of the prophetic, and if you don't operate in the office of the prophetic, that's okay. You're still a part of this too. I want you to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The Word of God reads, and go with me, the book of Joel, chapter 2, and I'm going to read this here. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. I'm hearing a shofar sound. I just hear it. I love the shofar. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Fast forward, go with me to verse 11. The word of God reads, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it?" Hallelujah. "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Hallelujah. Fast forward, verse 28. The word of God reads, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days shall I pour out my spirit," hallelujah, "and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Prophets of God, prophetesses of God, God is raising you up in this season. God is raising you up. He is setting aside a remnant of people, of men and women who will not bow their knee before Baal, who will not compromise the things of God, who will not be stopped by religiosity, who will not be stopped by worldly systems, who will not be stopped. Why? Because God has called these bold men and women to preach the truth, to preach the gospel, and to go into the wilderness, to go into the highways and the hedges to preach the truth. I see more John the Baptists being raised up, and people are going to laugh at you. People are going to look at you and call you weird and strange, and who are these people, and look at you like, oh, camel hair and eating wild locusts and honey. Hey, they're going to say you're strange, you're weird, you're unorthodox. Who are you? They may even call you crazy. But you know what? God is setting you aside while those religious folk are laughing at you and calling you weird and saying, who are you to call yourself a prophet? Huh? Well, you know what? Hey, man has not ordained me. God has ordained me. And let me tell you something, women, men and women of God. God, hallelujah, he has his eye on you. He's watching over you. And yes, it's going to get difficult. And you're going to feel the pinch. You're going to feel the hurt. You're going to feel the persecution. Absolutely. But when you line this up with the word of God, and when you look at the prophets of old, whether it be Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, hallelujah, Jesus, when you look at the prophets of old, their lives weren't easy either. So when you look at the treatment that you're getting, when you look at the fact that your life is isolated, it seems like no one likes you, no one can identify with you, you're crying, you're asking for help, no one can help you, and you just feel alone, you feel like no one cares about you. Well, I want to say this, God cares about you, and there are men and women out there who can identify with you, who can identify with what you're going through. And yes, there's fear too, sure, absolutely, as Elijah was fearful for his life. No doubt fear comes in, fear sets in, and you start to say to yourself, well, why am I alone? I mean, I want to have a family one day, you know, I want to get married, you know, I may even want to have some children. What about that? But you know what? The life of a prophet, when you are called to this office, it is a lonely life. It is a life of brokenness. It is a life of tears. It is a life of surrender. It is a life of torment and toil. Why? Because that is the life of a prophet. That is the life of a prophet of God. It is not easy. It is not easy. But I just want to say that God hears you. He loves you. And there's nothing that he will not do for you. And I just want to say, just keep your head up. Keep your focus. Don't lose focus. Don't lose hope. Don't lose that kingdom perspective. You are created for a purpose, man or woman of God. You are set apart for a reason. Yes, no doubt, you're human. Of course it hurts you. Of course you feel the pinch of the prophetic call. No doubt. And this is why, again, we need the fire of God. Lord, we need your fire right now. Lord, you are an all-consuming fire. Lord, your men and women servants are starting to lose that fire in their belly. They're starting to lose that desire for ministry, Lord. They're starting to even question, Lord, is it worth going out anymore? Is it worth going out into the highways and the hedges? Lord, is it worth it anymore? Lord, they're not listening, Lord. I'm sick of these people, Lord. They're constantly putting their mouth on me, Lord. They're calling me A, they're calling me B, they're calling me C. Lord, I am not these people who they say that they're associating me with. Lord, I am not that person. Lord, you know my character. Lord, I can't do this anymore, Lord. I'm tired. I can't walk. I can't do it. Lord, I'm losing that desire to want to be a part of this prophetic call, to be a part of this remnant. Lord, I'm running out of oil. I'm running out of the desire. I can't do it anymore. Help me. My brothers and sisters, he hears you. He hears you. Get on your face again. Get on your face again in prayer and fasting and supplication. Get on your face again. Get on the floor. Lay on the floor for hours in the dark. Cry, scream if you have to. Lord, help. Help me, Lord. Restore my mind, Lord. Restore my call, Lord. Restore that fire, Lord. Restore my first love, Lord. Help me in this hour, Lord. Otherwise, Lord, I'm going to quit. Lord, if you don't answer this call, I'm going to quit. Men and women of God, get on your face before him. Get back into that secret place. That place that you used to go to. That place where it is quiet, where there's no distractions, there's no voices speaking to you. That quiet place. Go back to that place. Go back to that. Hallelujah. Yes, the Lord was calling Elijah out of the cave. Hey, come out of that cave, man or woman of God. Come out of that cave. Why are you still in that cave? For your Lord hath need of you. I say your God and your Lord has need of you. Come out from underneath that rock. Come out from that cave. Come out of that room. Come out of that dark psychological place. Come out of your own way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your men and women servants, Lord, who you have set apart, who you have called, Lord. Lord, these men and women of God, Lord, hallelujah, they're losing that oil, Lord. They're losing that desire to want to continue to walk with you, Lord. Lord, they're being caught up in distractions and circumstances, Lord. Shift their thinking, Lord, back onto eternal things, Lord. Hallelujah. Be glorified, hallelujah. Be glorified, Lord. Restore that oil, Lord. Breathe on your men and women servants afresh, Lord. Breathe on them again, Lord. Lord, they're losing that fight, Lord. Restore their fight. Restore that determination. Restore that fiery indignation to want to preach the gospel. Restore that fire in them, Lord, to want to move forward. We cancel every diabolical distraction. We, in the name of Jesus, we cancel and dismantle. We destroy every assignment against the prophets of God to bring about a dryness in this season.
Lord Jesus, breathe on your prophets. Breathe on your people, Lord. Restore their minds. Restore their purpose. Restore their zeal for prophecy. Restore their hunger to speak. Hallelujah. Restore their desire to want to see, Lord. Be glorified. Be glorified in your men and women servants, Lord. Oh, God, Lord Jesus, you know what it's like, Lord. You know you were alone, Lord Jesus. Lord, you brought help with you, Lord, but your help fell asleep. There are many times, Lord, when your men and women servants, Lord, they're asking, pray for me, brother, pray for me, sister. And, Lord, people are falling asleep, Lord. But, Lord, hallelujah, sanction the Holy Spirit to pray for your prophets, Lord. Sanction the Holy Spirit, Lord, to pray for your men and women servants. Holy Spirit, Lord, when we can't pray anymore, Lord, Holy Spirit, pray for us. Intercede for us. Fast for us, Holy Spirit. We need you now, Lord, more than ever, Lord. Lord, we need you to fight this fight, Lord, to go out, Lord. Lord, this fight is becoming weary for a lot of your prophets, Lord. This fight is becoming too much for your prophets, Lord. Lord, we need a fresh anointing, a fresh touch, fresh oil, Lord, for your men and women servants. Be glorified, men and women of God. We're asking that you go back into that closet, go back into that secret place. And let the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob minister to your spirit, restore you, restore your mind, restore your heart. Don't grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary of doing good. In the name of Jesus, I implore you, get back into that secret place, that place where you're safe, that place where God has prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Go back to that place, that table that has been prepared specifically for you, man or woman of God, in the presence of your haters, in the presence of your enemies. Prayer that your cup will run over with the joy of the Lord, with his goodness, with his mercy. Your cup will run over with the love of God. My brothers and sisters, it is approximately 8:09 p.m. Again, this is Chaplain Kevin Graves on Kingdom Empowerment Radio, bringing this to a conclusion. Tonight's topic, the God that answers by fire. And I just want to say that, in closing, that this God that answers by fire is real. And many of you have seen this fire in operation. Many of you have felt this fire, this burning, this presence. Many of you have seen God in operation. Many of you have heard him. And I'm here to tell you that this God that answers by fire is there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He does not sleep. When man sleeps, he never sleeps. This consuming fire never sleeps. He's always there. Call on him. If anyone has any additional questions or comments, feel free to email me at pkwgraves@gmail.com. Again, that's pkwgraves@gmail.com.
my brothers and sisters, it has been a pleasure spending 1 hour with you. Sorry for coming on late, but nevertheless, this is what the Spirit of the Lord has to say in this season and in this hour to his men and women. Again, just know that this God that we serve, he is not just a God that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he is very much in tune with the circumstances of his people. So he is not indifferent to your pain. As much as you may want to even question him, maybe question his methods or his way of going about his business. Well, as the Lord has stated in the book of Isaiah, his thoughts are not our thoughts, nor are his ways our ways. We just have to be still and know that he's God. That being said, my brothers and sisters, have a good night. Keep your eyes focused on eternal things and always be about our Father's business. Again, this is Chaplain Kevin Graves on Kingdom Empowerment Radio. Thank you, Dr. Ganny. Thank you, Mr. Ganny, for allowing me to be a part of Kingdom Empowerment Radio. God bless you. God bless the woman of God that called in. Woman of God, God bless. Continue to stay in the Word. Continue to stay focused on eternal things. God bless you. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. And I'm looking forward again to the next time when we're together on Kingdom Empowerment Radio Incorporated. This is Chaplain Kevin Graves. Again, I'm with you every second and fourth Monday of each month for 1 hour from 7 to 8. God bless you and be well. Bye now.